listening to LawPod UK from the creators of the UK Human Rights Blog. It's a podcast that discusses developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. LawPod UK is produced by the barristers at 1 Crown Office Row and is presented by Rosalind English.
What can reasonably be expected of young doctors? This is the title of David Hart's latest post on the UK Human Rights Blog. A recent Court of Appeal case, with barristers on both sides from 1 Crown Office Row, concerned the sad episode of a one-year-old child who fell ill with meningitis. As a result of the delay in diagnosis, she suffered brain damage. In this interview, I discuss with David Hart QC the various issues that arose in the consequent negligence case against the hospital, which was dismissed at first instance but upheld by the Court of Appeal, with damages against the hospital to be decided in due course. So David, this is a human story about a child with meningitis. Can you give us a general picture of what happened?
Parents become very worried that their child is becoming ill, and some days into the illness they're very concerned and take her into hospital. And the key thing which appears to have led them to take her into hospital is that her eyes started rolling and they seemed to be uncoordinated. So they take her in. The junior doctor, senior house officer, then doesn't pick up that history of rolling eyes, sends the child and parents home, but later that day it turns out that she has meningitis and suffers very sadly severe brain damage.
Okay, but let's just put this into context before looking at the details of the case. A junior doctor has to do a stint in accident and emergency as part of their senior house officer year. At what stage do they do this?
They usually do, in fact, 2 years as a junior doctor, as a senior house officer. And that will be mixed with some time in obstetrics, perhaps some time as a paediatrician. And so they do all this on rotation, either 4 or 6 months.
And when an SHO actually sees somebody in A&E, they actually have to get some information about a patient, and that was very critical in this case.
It was. The system should be that what the ambulance people pick up from the parents, and what they picked up in this case about the eye rolling, and what the nurse who sees the parents and the child when they come first into the hospital, that should all be noted down on a piece of paper and put together with the notes, which then end up in the hands of the senior house officer, so at least he or she has something to start with before they start doing two things, which is, first of all, asking the parents, in this case, what's going on, and the child, if the child can speak, and secondly, start examining the patient.
So what went wrong in this particular case?
Well, the piece of paper on which the account given to the ambulance team didn't get through to the junior doctor, and it's not clear why that was. The second thing that went wrong is that the parents didn't tell the junior doctor about the history of eye rolling. That may be because they thought the hospital already knew it. And that was allied with the fact that the junior house officer didn't ask the parents what it was that had led them to bring the child in the middle of the night.
Seems a pretty strange question not to ask. It seems that there are two issues in this case: the standard expected on examination of the patient and the standard expected from history taking. How did this play out?
When the case was before the judge below, he decided that the senior house officer had given an adequate standard of care, both in terms of examination and in terms of history taking. He felt that the criticisms that were being made of her were too harsh, because he thought that they were to be expected of a very senior doctor, like a consultant, but it was unfair to pitch those particular criticisms at somebody who was at the beginning of her doctoring career.
That raises the interesting point of how generally the law deals with beginners, with people who are new to their jobs.
Well, it deals with them in two slightly different ways. In terms of jobs, it identifies what it is that the person is being employed to do. So in this context, it's the post involved, that of a senior house officer, which is a junior post. It doesn't say, this senior house officer had, in fact, done 6 months of paediatrics, so she can be expected to know more about asking parents about a little child than somebody who's only in her first week of paediatrics. Nor does it say, she's in her first week of paediatrics, and therefore it's unfair to criticise her by reference to senior house officers generally. It takes a sort of middle view. In terms of conduct more generally, perhaps the best example is the learner driver example. Here is something that it is generally thought ought to be done up to a general standard, namely that of a reasonably competent driver, as distinct from a reasonably competent learner driver. And therefore, there's an objective standard against which the facts of any particular road accident have to be adjudged.
Going back to doctors for a moment, I know you've explained it very thoroughly, but one might think with the pressure on young doctors and the long hours they work, should the standards we expect of them be any different to other professionals?
Well, not really. You look at the post, you look at what is expected of those doctors by the NHS, and then you say, did this doctor, despite the fact it was the middle of the night, did she miss an obvious point, or was it quite a subtle point that she failed to pick up? You assess whether they are negligent or not, and whether the hospital is responsible by reference to that. So you don't ignore the circumstances, but you don't let the circumstances override the more general facts of the case.
And, of course, all of this is relevant to an action of negligence. But there are other legal relationships where we might take a different approach.
Well, yes, indeed. And the perfect example of that is when you go and consult a particular expert, and you would normally have a contract between you and that particular expert, and it may be an expert doctor or it may be an expert solicitor, and you go to that person because you know that they are at the tip-top of their profession. In those circumstances, you don't judge them by reference to the ordinary solicitor or the ordinary doctor. You judge them by reference to what it is that they were promising to provide to you, which is an expert service.
Yes, so that very cleanly delineates the relationship and contract as opposed to one's relationship with the talk fees or negligence. It's an interesting judgment, isn't it? It's a small case, a sad one, but it has a lot in it.
It does, because it covers, first of all, the practicalities of what happens in a hospital, and draws an interesting and perhaps questionable distinction between history-taking and examination. And secondly, it stands back and looks at how the law should approach learner doctors.
LawPod UK is presented by Rosalind English and produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and recommend us to a friend.